Thursday the 28th of February, Rabbi Yosef Shisha, the Tachash.
As I haven't participated in this gathering Shul Torah beforehand, there's a certain amount of trepidation that I stand here, and therefore I've taken as a banner, as a title, Tachash. And Tachash will remind me that I have to finish within Torah Chassi Shor. But before we get to the Tachash, there's quite a long way to go. We have five sedras which are actually one unit. Trimut Sava, Vayaka Vakiri, they are, have in the middle of them, Kisiso, which is the watershed. Trimut Sava is before the Egel, and Vayaka Vakiri are after the Egel. And in fact, there was a world of difference. There was Ponim Chadoshos, as things appeared beforehand, and as things appeared in reality after the great tragedy of Egel. I've got here actually a list of 8 points. Where 8 points of differences pre and post Egel. I wasn't able to discuss all of them, but just to give you some idea. The main one is, of course, that there was a great difference in the Mishkan, and that is actually the subject of my discussion. The Zohar Kodesh says, quoted in Vayakhe, beginning of Vayakhe, that before the Egel, the Rabbi Shalom said, you can take Menodorot, Me'ev Kol Ish Hashem Yitvenu Liboy, which he even included the Eir of Rav, whereas afterwards it was restricted to Kohen Nadiv Lev, which came to exclude Eir of Rav. Before Egel, all of Kalad Yisrael was on Lechus Kohenim. After Egel, we'd lost that skula. As regards Poro Aduma, before Egel, the Mishnah was given beforehand, and it had whatever reasons they had, which we don't know. After Egel, in addition, it got this segula of Tova Imos Kape Tzaras Bano, to clean up the spiritual mess caused, the spiritual havoc caused by the Egel. Then, as regards the Shein Lichot Habriyot, beforehand, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the first two, which were completely min hashamayim. The stones themselves had somehow crystallized from being dovah ruchni into a dovah chumri. Whereas afterwards, he was told the solachor that he had to take up stones from the ground, and take them up to shamayim. Number five, because we lost the first ones, had we had the first ones, everything we learned we would have retained and remembered. And since we lost them, the Korach Shikru came down. Then, within the Dibros, the most significant, there are many differences between one and the other, but the most significant of them is with Shabbos, that in Yisroel, the first set had Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, whereas the second set, which came afterwards, was Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then, next point, number seven. Beforehand, before the Egel, Avodah was for Bechoros. When they did the Egel, when the Egel had been done, the Chet of the Egel, the Avodah was removed from the Bechorim and it was given over to the Levim. And finally, there was also a difference actually in the Canada. The further makes the point that in Mishpatim we have the Yomim Tovim, and it says that Chalka Osif the Teis Hashonah. And he says, so after the Egel, says Chayva Osir to Kufos Hashona. And he makes the point, he quotes the Medrash, that had we not done the Egel, we would have had three Yom Tovim, one in Tammuz, one in Av, one in Elul. Because we did the Egel in Tammuz, everything was delayed, and it was all pushed forward, made later, pushed into Tishri. So Rosh Hashona, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot are all in Tishri. That is Kufos Hashona. Beforehand it was the Teis Hashanah, at the end of the year, would have been an Elul, and because of that, the aftermath of the Egel, they went into all, they were all concertinas into Chodesh Tishri, which is the Kifas Hashanah at the turn of the year. Obviously, I can't go through them all, but the main thing is I want to discuss the difference in Mishkan itself between before Egel and after Egel. We go right back to Maaseh Bereishis. There's a Medrash, Omer Rav Shimon Bar Ami. from the very beginning of creation, Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu loses last of the Shutras B'tachtonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavroch wanted to have a chelik down below. And another version says, Iker Shechino B'tachtonim Hoizu. Originally the Shechino was down below. Shenema V'yishmi Yizkod Hashem Lekim Yishalech Bagon V'ruach Hayon. But when all the Rishon did the tragic hate, the Shechino started receding, going up back to Shemayim. They went through various generations and he receded. Kain, Dor Enosh, Dor Amabo, Dor Apologo, Sodomim, or Mitzrayim, the mayor of Rome. Then it reached, then the Shechina went right back to where it had come from. Starting with Avraham, with the seven Tzaddikim, starting with Avraham, the Shechina came gradually down and down again. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kehot, Amram, Moshe. Omad Moshe, Varid Alois. Moshe Rabbeinu brought Shechina back down, right down to ground level. As it says, Vayichase Onan Esoi, Lechoyed Hashem, Molei Echa Mishkon. Now an obvious question presents itself to us, that even before the Mishkan was erected, there was a terrific Gidush Shechina, and Har Sinai, the Gidush Shechina, the revelation of Shechina, could not have been greater than that which Hashem spoke was Marek Vayichase Hashem, and Har Sinai Marek Vayichase Hashem, Ke'esh HaChedus B'Rosh HaHor, Le'inei B'nei Yisrael. So the question is then, what was Nischadosh, so to speak, by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, afterwards, built the Mishkan and brought the Shechina into the Mishkan. When in fact the Shechina was already there on Har Sinai. Tzor Amor ala Torah, the beginning of Trimel says that at the end of Mishpotim, there's one portion which appears to be Ibrik, appears to be superfluous. What had happened there? The Shechina was on Har Sinai, and it didn't go away. Why didn't he go away? Why didn't Ribbono Shel Olam remove his Shechina, his presence, his visible presence? So his idea is that Ribbono Shel Olam left it there waiting. Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyochol was giving us a hint that he wanted us to erect a suitable binyan into which the Shechina would remove itself from Har Sinai, and go into this Mishkan, into this binyan. Because he wanted to retain a presence, Bekirbenu. He wanted us to rise to the occasion and understand what he was asking of us, and that we should take the initiative ourselves. And that's what he says there, Marek Vayid Hashem Ke'esh HaCheles B'Rosh HaHor Le'inei B'nei Yisrael. It's not really necessary to mention that. They always says Vachase Onam Ve'ikrim Moshe, and Moshe went up and he was B'hor Aboim Yoyim Aboim Lolo. Why does the Torah put in here this additional portion, Marek Vayid Hashem Ke'esh HaCheles B'Rosh HaHor? Because he says that the Shechina was there waiting for us to take the initiative. But we didn't take the initiative then. So therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he came down with a mitzvah of Dabe Ebenei Yisroel, V'yitzchali Terimu. Because since we hadn't grasped why Hashem is spoken was waiting, therefore he had to tell us what to do. Now this leads on to the next. And in fact, the Ramban says that this was the Rotan Hashem, that the kovod which was on Har Sinai, it manifested itself in his galia, so to speak. We could all see it. He wanted that to continue, the Ofan Nistar, in a more hidden form, in a Mishkan, and therefore wherever we would go, we would take the Shechina with us. But in reality, there's a big machlokes whether or not the mitzvah of the tzivah of Melechus HaMishkon was it before or was it after the Egel. According to Rashi and Kisitho, Rashi says quite clearly, that was after the Egel, and Ein Mukdam Yochad B'Torah. that the Maaser Eger preceded the Mishkan many, many days, many months. And that is also Medrash on Tumah. I'm reading from a passage in the Divrei Yod by the Satmar Rov, where he brings together these two shittas. However, the Zohar HaKadosh here in Vayakhel writes that everything is Keseder. Parshas Terumah was indeed before Chet HaEger. And that's why it says in Eis Kodesh Asher Yivenu Libra, even from the Erev Rav. Masha Enkein in Vayakhel, which was after the tragedy of Egel, and the Erev Rav had proved that they wanted to be worthy to be participants. So the Torah said, "Gechum Eitchem," from you and not from the Erev Rav. And the Bali Atosef also say that the mitzvah of Mishkan was in the first 40 days before the Egel. Now, even according to the Shittas Rashi, that the mitzvah for Mishkan was given only after the Eger, it's impossible to say that the Mishkan only came as a kapora for the Eger. And if not for that, we would not have had a Mishkan. Horaya, that Yaakov Avinu, already on the way down to Mitzrayim, he went and planted the Arodim, because he saw that the Bnei Yisrael were going to build the Mishkan when they went out to Mitzrayim. And more than that, there's another medrash: Vayisrael Yisrael v'chol ha'shelo v'yova v'erushova lehechon holach Omer Rav Nachman sheholach, he went to cut down Arodim shenoto Avrom zekeno v'vei sheva. They were already prepared by Avrom, and then Yaakov chopped them and took them down to Mitzrayim. When they kept these logs in storage, and the whole time we were in Mitzrayim. And when we came out, they were part of the Rechush Godah, which they took with, and the Rechush Godah also contained so much. The Mechilta says that each one of us who went out to Mitzrayim with the Rechush Godah could have built individually the Mishkan. So the Mishkan was going to be built in any event. And indeed, he says, the other Mamoy Chazan on the other side of the coin, that Binyan HaMishkan is a kapora for Chet HaEger. There's a Yerushalmi in Shkolim. Vosiso kapora zov Torah. Yovo zov shel kaporas, that the gold of the kaporas should be a kapora for the zov of the Eger. So he says, the Satmar Rov says, it's obvious that whereas indeed that the Binyan HaMishkan had an important function beforehand to be the place for Ashrat HaShchino, but having sinned with the Eger, you saw needed a great Kaporo. So the Rabbein Shel Olam, the Chasde HaGodol, added an additional segula to the Mishkan, that in addition to all its various segulas and koyachos, it would also have this koyach to be Mechaper Maaser HaEger. Just as we find with the Por Adumah. The Por Adumah had so many reasons that we don't even know. Even Shlomo HaMelech wasn't able to fathom out Poro. And yet he says, Tovoi Ho'aim was Kaneach Toras Bono, which was obvious, an additional reason, additional segula, which was, so to speak, latched on, attached to Poro afterwards, in order for the Poro to be, act as a Kaporo, as a Tinuach for the Chet HaEger. So likewise over here, had they not sinned, we would have been had the Mishkan in any event. But since we did sin, the Rebbein Shalom gave the Mishkan as an opportunity for as a kapora for the Eger. Now, what actually is the difference between Mishkan before and the Mishkan afterwards? Meshe Chochmo in Vayakhel explains that we have been in a Mishkan and there's a void in the Mishkan. In the Mikdash. Now, Avodah is Dorcha Shabbos. Bina Beis HaMikdash is not Dorcha Shabbos. What about Machshirim, like preparing the Omer, baking the Shtei Alechem? Some are Dorcha Shabbos, some are not Dorcha Shabbos. Now, if we hadn't made the Eger, then Kalani Shoyim would have retained the Seguru of Mamechet Kohenim v'Goy Kodesh. B'chol ha'mokam asher askel shemi, obo elecho ben achtichu. We ourselves would have been, so to speak, ourselves the Mishkan. The Shechina would have enveloped all of us. We were on that madrega, we had retained the Segula and the Kedusha and the level of that we were given at Mount Torah. And had we not done the Eger, had we not succumbed to Chet, we would have been like Kedah, sort of more as Malachim walking on earth. We ourselves would have been Shechina. Therefore, says the Meshech Chochma, we wouldn't have needed the Mishkan to be the place to bring Shechina into Klal Yisrael, because Shechina would have was there in any event. So what was the purpose of Shechina, of the Mishkan? The purpose of Mishkan was only to act as a focal point, the unifying point, which was Makabit the nation, to be a funnel for the Tfilas of Klal Yisrael to be channeled through the Mishkan to go up to Shemayim. But there Shal HaShemayim. It would have been a Shal HaShemayim which was moving wherever we went. But when we dropped drastically through Chet HaEgel, we lost that. We lost that Segula. It's not Subulator as Egel Mehar Choyrev. We were stripped of these spiritual Madgushim which we had had. And we came back to ground level. So we needed Mishkan to bring Shechina into Klal Yisrael. So therefore, beforehand, says Meshech Chochmo, Binyan HaMishkan was the same as Avoido. It was a Chelek in Avoido. Just as Avoido is Mano, it's Zoche Shabbos. So Binyan HaMishkan was no higher, was on the same level, was on par with Avoido. So therefore, it would have been Zoche Shabbos. Whereas afterwards, we needed to build the Mishkan to bring in Shechina into Klal Yisrael. So that is Binyan. That is not Dorcha Shabbos. Binyan wouldn't be Dorcha Shabbos, and Avoido would be Dorcha Shabbos. So you see a fundamental difference between Mishkan beforehand and Mishkan afterwards. Mishkan beforehand, what we were ourselves were Mishkan, and we needed the Binyan Mishkan. We needed the structure to serve as a focal point of Klal Yisrael, to which our Tfilas and Avoido would go up to Shemayim. Whereas afterwards, we needed the Mishkan to bring in Shechina into Klal Yisrael, because we had lost it. And the basis of this is actually in the Tfonu. The Tfonu says it's in a few places in the Torah, but the main place is in Kisiso, says it's in Azino, that beforehand we were on the level of Atem Tiyud Lim Mamlechas Koinim V'Goy Kodosh, and also where it says V'Chol HaMakom Asher Askei L'Shemi Ova Lecha V'Yachshich. I mean everywhere, in everybody's private home, private house, wherever they went, Shechina was there. But we lost it all. How did we lose it? Because we made V'Chiru L'Ra, we made a very bad choice. And we made the choice, bad mistake, and therefore we lost all these segulas. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the first luchos. He shattered them, and Klal Yisrael had lost their great manners. And that's what he says in Hazina. Shichet loy bono mumador ikesh v'saltoi. That because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had very high hopes for us. He had wanted to be in the Kaddish Yisrael. That we should be in the Kaddish His name, bo'olam, in His work throughout. And we should be, so to speak, lema'oros. We should be beacons of light to guide humanity. And we lost it all. Halashem tigmen uzos amnova v'lachochom. This is the way you paid Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he said to us, that we ourselves have made a tragic choice and we suffered the consequences. Now where do we see the clearest point of the difference on ourselves, on our bodies, between beforehand and afterwards? That, I think, is with the Tachash. In the Sefer Yad Eliyahu, which was printed in Amsterdam, 1712, it's a Tshuva Sefer, there's a Shal in Halacha there, whether or not you can take the oil, the hide of a behemoth to make tefillin. And in the course of this Tshuva, he goes over to Agabata, And he explains, he goes on to the subject of the Tachash, Oros Tachoshim. Now, the Oros Tachoshim is mentioned in the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, Omer Rabbi Meir, that the Tachash in the days of Moshe was a very of the Shnei. It was a unique creature. V'lohi chriu bo chachomim, imin chayo, or min behemo. Chachomim couldn't decide whether it was a chayo, whether it was behemo, but it was a unicorn. The keren achas hoiso loy b'metzcho, it had one keren, one horn, on its forehead. Ulefi shon is daman loy l'moshe, it appeared when it was needed, but also the men of Mishkan, and as many as he needed, were required to make the Mishkan appeared on the scene, and then they disappeared, we didn't have them anymore. And in fact, in reality, I mean, they were sort of like a zebra-like creature, but they were striped, according to Chazal. And they were very, very long. their hides had to stretch right across the breadth of the Mishkan. So since it says that it had a unicorn, it had one horn, Shema min ha-Torah ho-yon, the Gemara says it was Torah, how do we know? Because Rambam says, Shosh hikriv Odom ha-Rishon, the Shosh which Odom was makriv after his chet, Keren achas ho-yisulah v'metcho, it also only had one horn, Shenema, v'titav l'Hashem v'shosh por, Makrin mafriz, Makron kasiv. Makron implies that he was singular. So the Mizrahi asks that from what is written in Yechezkel Tesayim, it appears they were, were wearing na'alayim, wearing shoes fashioned from Oros HaChash for the whole of the 40 years. This is in chapter Tesayim in Toivos Yerushalayim, which is mentioned in the Megillah. Mishnah Megillah that we're not maftir but Torah Yerushalayim, Hodas Yerushalayim Torah Seho, and we're familiar with the pasuk there in this chapter. Forever Elach Erech Mitzvaseses V'Demorech V'Malach V'Demar Chayi V'Malach V'Demar Chayi, and Hagodah continues Revolver V'Ketzem V'Chafod and Satich, etc. etc. Forever Elach Erech V'Hine Etech Eisgoidim, the time has come to show you my love for you, to take you out of Mitzrayim. For Yishov Elach for all the bris Vazochnim Hashem Lekim Ati Yili. At that point, when he went out of Yerushalayim, when he went out of Mitzrayim, I was Matayu, Baba Sheikh Rikmo, I bedecked you in Rikmo, Vo'en Aleich Tokash. I put shoes of Tachash skin onto your feet. And there's a whole list, so I think of 13 things, Vech Vesheikh Vashesh, Vachasech Meshi, Vedech Edi, Vedech Notimidi Meredach, Vedech Senonech, Avgeronech, and so on and so forth. Vatadi, Zor, Vochesech, and Vavishech, Shesh, Vopomeshi, Vorikmo, etc., etc. Vatitlechi, Nimlecho. So, what you see from here, that it appears after Mizrahi, that we went out of Mitzrayim wearing shoes of Tachash, and we wore them in the Midbar. So this Sefer Yad Elyon tries to reconcile this era. And first of all, he explains, what does it mean? What is the concept? What's the idea of an animal having a single keren, not two koronas, having been the unicorn? We know Odom Rishon had done a chet, and obviously we don't understand the chet, but Chachom used very shverer loshonos concerning Odom Rishon. They call him a kofer v'ikor, they call him a min, all sorts of difficult loshonos. In other words, Odom Rishon, by the very fact that he had decided against the Rotzon Hashem to eat from the Eitz Hadaat, that was on his level something which was beyond the pale, and he needed a kaporo. What was his kaporo? He had to make a tikkun for his chet. So he brought as his kaporo a shor which was a unicorn. The significance of a shor, of an animal with one horn, is to make his tikkun. The tikkun was Romaz lo yisborach shu yochid v'yoshev lemala b'ruma shalonim. There's no room for another idea. If Ribbono Shel Olam says you do or you don't do something, we don't come along and have other ideas and say, we want to do what we feel like doing. So Adam Rishon made this mistake. He decided to eat from the Eitz HaDaat. His tikkun was to show his charoto by symbolizing, showing that he's now mekabel the yichudo, the unity of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is symbolized by having one horn and not two horns. And that, he says, is the same idea with the tachash. To understand it, I'll tell you what the Shlok Kodesh says, quoted by the Mashal. We say every day, Baruch HaShor Tzadik Kotzoki. The Baruch HaShor Tzadik Kotzoki is when we put on shoes. What has it got to do? Shor Tzadik Kotzoki. All our needs. So the Shlok Kodesh says that this is based on the following. Tehine Vatachasere Matvin Okim, we see Malas Odom, Vachobad Vahodom Shatereo, Tam Shileo Mamas Yodecho, Koil Shato, Tachas Radlov. You hear? Koil Shato. Everything is put under his legs. What is Koil Shato Tachas Radlov? Because we have that Cham, the four levels. Doimen, Tzomeach, Chai, Medaber. The animal, the plant life eats off the ground, is grown from the ground, which is inanimate. And the animal eats the plant life. And we then take the hide of an animal and we put it under our legs to symbolize Koed Shato Tachas Rablov. Everything that Odom is Mimalo and everything is subservient to man. But that was only, and this was, this symbolized by the Tachash. That the Tachash also, by having one horn, symbolized Achdus Habore. Showing, telling man that everything which is under his feet is actually there, Hakobor and Chvoidah. But that was only until we had made the Egel. When we sinned with Egel, it says in Kisiso, "Vayisnasi v'nei Yisrael Egel ha'choydeh." We were stripped of all these adornments which we had. We'd lost them all. And indeed, the Baruch Hu says that when they sinned with the Egel, they lost the 13 Mabushim listed in Yechezkel, and they were put into. They became the 13 meaning which were used for building the Mishkan. It was only the Shevet Levi and Yoshua Minin who didn't sin who were entitled to continue wearing Nalayim of Tachash. But what happened to the Tachash? The leather of Tachash, which till then had been underfoot, was taken from underfoot and was put overhead. It became the kisui, one of the kisuim on the gag of the Mishkan, to symbolize that notwithstanding our terrible hate, we're putting it overhead to look up to it, to say that ki Hashem Elokim b'shamayim imah v'aloi tzvachas einoid. This was our tikkun, but we took it from under foot because we lost it, and it went overhead. Now, though we've lost it, we haven't lost it for all time. Because Shlomo Melech says in Shir HaShirim, Mayofur Tomaich Vana'olim Vasnodiv. How beautiful are your legs, are your feet, Vasnodiv. So the Targum there in Shir HaShirim, Omar Shalom Mabruch Nibon Mekodom Hashem, Kamo Shapiron Ragleon de Yisroel. How beautiful are the feet of Yisroel. Katsalkom lechazor kodom Hashem. When they go up to leroat pene Hashem, to las limlim b'shato, v'sam de lindu saskoino. Saskoino is the targum for tachash. How beautiful are the feet of Klal Yisroel when they go up. Mayofu pamayat, when they go up. Feet hashor shbom v'shono, wearing Nalayim of Tachash. So the Otsil of Oed Ben Hei Romenu, we'll get back these segulas. We'll get back, although we were stripped of them, we'll get them back.